So here we are. He showed me this thing and it really hit me. And I began to realize, where did I leave my cross? Or what does my cross look like? And this particular person, then I went back to Asha. And I said, I'm going to ask all my people. So I was sharing this in our staff devotion. And I could see the look on their face when I said about the cross. And then I asked them, what is the first impression you get when you talk about the cross? What's the first impression you get about the cross? If I would ask you, deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me, what would you say? Pardon? Sacrifice? Freedom? Challenge? Access? Service? Pain? Choice? Gratitude? Compassion? Justice? This is what you're saying. But in my place, they all said burdensome. I said, what? The cross is burdensome. But my friends, the cross is not burdensome. It's freedom. It's freedom. Love propels freedom. The love of God propels you, and that is freedom. Freedom to do what God has called us to do. Freedom to go into this world and to stand there in the midst of the worst circumstances in your life and to say that you actually believe that something wonderful is going to happen. That is the power of the cross. And when I began to consider that and began to see it in that light, you begin to realize that the cross, is very powerful. Is very, very powerful indeed. And going back to one of the parables of Jesus, where everybody asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? He only had one message. What do you say? Love God, love your neighbor. Another guy came to him and said, what should I do to inherit eternal life? He said, what does it say? He said, it says, love your God, love your neighbor. He said, well, do it. You live. Another person came to him and said, what should I get? What should I do to get eternal life? Jesus said, love your God, love your neighbor. He asked, who is my neighbor? And the most beautiful words of Jesus, the words of the Good Samaritan, right? The whole story you know. And that is the cross that we are called to pick up sometimes. And that is the cross of mercy. Cross of mercy. When we stand in the midst of people, are we merciful? Or are we oozing with leisure field and some of the best perfumes that is available on the market? We smell good, we speak good, we talk good, we do good, but can we really be merciful? And today as we were praying, somebody said to me, that the best is yet to come. And I was so happy when I heard it. Because I know what the situation is in Asha. And I said, wow, that is super. The best is yet to come. 30 years we have been serving the poor in Delhi. 18 million people. And 49% of people live in colonies like this, which we call today as the slum colonies. 30 years ago, we started this. The lanes are so narrow, and it is a pity if there is a fire. And this is Delhi, so crowded, all kinds of traffic. You have the goats, the dogs, the cows, and you have bullock carts. Everything goes on together. Nothing stops in Delhi. And during the monsoons, you have to walk across planks. People find it so difficult. And yet, they want to live. And they want to fight it through. They want to make it big. We started a comprehensive healthcare program. Children were having all kinds of diseases, diarrhea, boils, jaundice. And mothers were anemic. We started teaching and training people running ambulances. This is one of the first ambulances that you gave us. That's why I put this picture. It's to go to Mayapuri. It was 25 years ago. And we started training community health volunteers to train people, give them health education, because we know that if you're able to provide clean drinking water, electricity, and a proper house, which is clean, majority of your problems is over. And you can see that they can come through. This is the CHVs, going from house to house, a barefoot doctor of ours, training, teaching, spending time with the community. It's not easy. When outside it is 45, inside the house where there is no cross ventilation, maybe 46, 47 degrees centigrade. Extremely difficult, very, very hard. But they work there from 9 to 5, looking after patients, the tertiary health care in our polyclinic where they are able to come. This is the recent launch. We have a very good physiotherapy unit now where people with all aches and pains can come. It gives us a good chance to talk to them. The belief is in India that you have the aches and pains is mainly because you're demon possessed. Sometimes I can agree to that. But they're not demon possessed. They just have these aches and nobody's there to take care of them. So this physiotherapy unit which we have set up has really blessed them. And Kiran, my wife, is, if she would have been here, she would have been all over talking and laughing and jumping. I'm a little quieter type. And she has this unique skill of just making even a dead man talk. I can't. I can't talk to a dead man. But she can. And she began to throw parties at home. So I said, oh, Kiran, not again another party on a Saturday. Oh, not on a Sunday again another party. She said, Jesus came eating, drinking. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. You don't heal the sick. You don't cast out demons. You don't even want to have a party. What do you want to do then? I said, all right, okay. Fine, have a party. Have a party. Yes, it is a good question. You keep eating and drinking, casting out demons and healing the sick. We don't heal the sick. We don't cast out demons. We don't, I don't know, we have parties. But we can talk about it later. But at home, there was parties every Sunday. Oh, I'm a Christian. I don't drink, but now I drink. I don't drink beer, now I drink. I'm converted, you see. I'm slowly being converted. He's changing me slowly, slowly. When the first time the Irish people came to my home, there were 25 builders. And I said, boys, men, here they are. Drinks, wine, everything. And they said, Freddie, listen. We're Irish. Northern Ireland, Ballymena. They said, one, no wine, one wife. No wine, one wife. I said, oh no. Take it off. All the wine and beer went away. They only drank juices. But she started throwing parties at home. And these parties turned out to be something so beautiful. We had people from all walks of life. Christians, some. More of people who didn't believe in the way. And some people were dead against the way. Well, we got all of them together. And we partied, we talked and we partied. And we used to do that all the time. Till one day, some of the doctors who said, Kiran, tell us, how can we help you, man? How can we help you? She said, you're running such huge establishments, such huge businesses. Why can't you set up a referral system for the poor? And they agreed. The drinks worked. They agreed. So we have a referral system in Asha now. So if we write on a referral to some of the top hospitals and surgeons and people, doctors who are running huge practices, people in Asha today are treated free. I can quote of implants in a year costing more than £100,000, £200,000, something £50,000 even for young kids. All kinds of tests being done totally free. And then I understood. Sometimes you have to be more relaxing. It's freedom. I took the cross. Yes, I did take my cross. The cross was not properly carried. Because I was more worried about my own religiosity. And what people would talk about me. But then I realized, if I have to touch these people too, I need to be with them and spend time with them. And that really helped us in ASHA a lot. And today we have top eye surgeons opening up their clinics, and we can send our patients. And some of our doctors from here also have come into ASHA and worked with us for 3 weeks. She's a rheumatologist, Louis, from Cheltenham. And this is something very good what we do in ASHA, is the eating part. We get everybody together and we eat. And we share a few small stories. And we took up the values of ASHA: generosity, giving, thankfulness, the power of touch, and all of this based on the scriptures. And we began to teach our people. And this began to really help them. You know, Jubair will tell you, in our society we have caste system. People who are from a lower caste will not eat from a higher caste. And higher caste, vice versa, they will not touch their food. But we broke this barrier. And we brought them together like this. Result is that today the women's group have become very, very powerful. They are lobbying with government officials, with the police people, fighting against drug abuse, fighting against alcoholism in the slums, getting the bad guys behind bars, not afraid at all, not afraid. Very powerful the women's group have become. And not forgetting the children who were forced to work like this 30 years ago, playing cards. And you can imagine, unless the train doesn't move, the kids don't go to school. And sometimes this train just is stalled for an hour or so. So the kid says, why should I go to school? 4 out of 5 girls never get a chance to get to school. We have volunteers from different parts of the world. This lady came and worked with us for 1.5 years. She set up a little play school in ASHA, which is the new thing that we began in the slums. And our introduction to computer classes and English classes in the slums really helped us to start seeing that every kid began to go to school. Every child in our slums who are in our program are now into school. And they take out rallies like this, fighting for justice, starting asking people questions. Why can't we say that? This is here it says, education is my right. What's happened? From 2008 to now, we have put 2,000 kids into Delhi University. And they're studying. They're doing very, very well. Some of the children have gone into vocational courses. This is by GMR. They run these huge courses. They're also the service providers of the international airports in Delhi. So they take our kids. And give you one case study. This is Chandan. He's now finished his MSc Mathematics. He's now scouting for different schools in the UK and also in Australia. He's a brainy. And if you want to pray, you can pray for Chandan. Then God will open up doors for him, and that he'll be able to get admission to pursue his PhD. We also have contacted the British Council, and they come here and they take classes for our boys and girls, teach them how to write CVs, teach them how to answer questions. And another case study, Mahinder, his father is a gardener, earns about £50 a month, and you can see he's taller than the entrance of his house. But he went to Golgathia. From Golgathia, in your engineering school, he went to Cognizant in Calcutta, and then he got a break of his life when he went to the University of Melbourne, and now he's finished his master's, and he finished his last paper last week, master's in computer applications. So he'll definitely get a good job there. And people, boys and girls, started getting jobs. Some of them working in the New Zealand High Commission. Babita, she traveled with me to the U.S., she was a great speaker. She is working at the Rice Institute. Dilip was in Rio Tinto. Now he's gone to Macquarie. And some children have gone into PwC. Some are in Mazars. The guy on the left is the British High Commission. Really a good friend of ours. And really cares for our children. And has always opened up his place for our boys and girls. And this is one initiative we started a couple of years ago. It's called the Ambassador Program, where we realized that we cannot take the work of ASHA on our own. It's not possible. and we needed help. So we asked children to come forward and be ambassadors. They volunteered. So we got about 100 ambassadors in Asha. They're in different parts. They go to different places. When we started the work, we were working in 52, 53 slums. Now we are in 91 slums. It's because of the ambassadors. They go in their free time, the Saturdays, Sundays. They go to the neighboring slums, bring them to their places, show them what they have been doing. And that's how the work of Asha has been growing. And we feel that we're going to reach out through education. Like she said, the best is yet to come. Another lady said to me that you were tossed up like a little child and then you were caught. And I said, wow, that's interesting. I'm going to see what's going to happen. And God can do anything. And we are in a phase in Asha where we are expanding and we are seeing things happen, children getting jobs in so many companies, something which we never thought would happen. And I think I'm able to recognize my cross. I think I know where it is. I think, you know, I know when to pick it up. And my challenge for you this morning is, you know where your cross is. And the best thing is to take it and run. And let's see what God does. Like the sister said, the best is yet to come, not only for me, but also for you. I am so excited to introduce my traveling friend with me this time, Jubair Mohammed. Come, Jubair. Jubair has been a great friend of mine for many, many years now. And we did an interview lot for who would travel with me this time. So we had a line of people. And I was very partial, obviously. I got my way through it at last and had to fight for his seat. I said, no, I'm taking Jubair with me. And I'm so glad that he's with me. He looks after me when I travel. He carries my bag. Gives me tea in the morning. That's his cross now. Gives me tea in the morning. That's me. And I really just feel free. Okay?
Thank
there you
me.
Are. 1 minute. We change.
My name is Zubair Muhammad. And I'm so excited and happy to be in your country. I sat in a plane for the first time and really enjoyed it. In the plane, Mr. Martin was sleeping and I was watching the movies and really enjoyed it. This is the picture of my slum. I was born with a lot of dirt around me. There was no garbage disposal facility and everyone used to throw their waste in this park. And this, where I played Gulli Danda in a straight cricket because I love playing cricket. I remember standing with a plastic can in a long queue for many hours to fill water. Many times the water would be finished before my turn would come and we were forced to drink dirty water. Many times we did not have the water to bathe even for 3 to 4 days for the whole family. When it rained heavily, all the dirty water from the large open drain would come into our house. My family and I were deeply humiliated because we had to go to the toilet in open area where everybody could see us. This is my home. This is where I was born and reside all through my childhood. In fact, when I was born, my house was just made of plastic sheets and pieces of clothes. Our roof used to leak heavily during the rain, and I remember how we placed the utensils on the floor to collect rainwater. There were days when we sat on the wet floor the whole night. In the summer season, when temperature rose to 44 degrees Celsius continuously, and we felt suffocated. And our house became burning hot. I have been grown up facing lots of poverty. My father always sold vegetable on a cart and hardly earned any money. My mother and all the 6 brothers and sisters, including me, we used to strip wire. And we were paid only 10 penny for stripping 1 kilogram of wire. My mother would buy poor quality of lentils and rice from the ration shop. And we would eat the leftover part of the chicken, like the feet, once a month. I would often go hungry the whole day and go to sleep in my hunger. My mother would wake me up in the evening and give me something to eat. I remember once my father went to a small town to work as a looter because he did not have any work in Delhi. He did not send us a single penny for 3 months. During those days, we used to eat Indian bread and with crushed onion and green chilies. I remember, I always sick with diarrhea, fever, boils, and so many other diseases. With my family facing so much poverty, they had no plans to send me to school. It was an Asha CHB, whose name is Farida. She convinced my mother to send me to school. Then came a turning point in my life. From the age of 12, I began to go to the beautiful Asha Center every day. I was surrounded by the people who loved me, cared for me, and motivated me. They provided me with the quiet place to study. They also gave me study materials and stationeries. And I also became a member of Asha Children Association and got involved in so many activities to improve my Islam. And I slowly began to feel that my life was changing. I scored good marks in my high school national examination. But I began to feel that this is the time for me to stop my study and start earning. But I was very lucky that during that time, Dr. Kiran visited at Silampur Asha Center. And I shared my all fears with her. I can never forget her words to me on that day. She told me that she would be there with me always and gave me all the support I need. She inspired me to trust her. And it's like mother and son were talking to each other. With Asha's help, I got admission in BA program at one of India's top universities, University of Delhi. And I decided to study political science and history as my main subject, and most of my college education funded by Asha. Without that, I would have never been able to achieve and take the admission in this university because my family had no money. It was the year of 2014, the day of the convocation. I wondered if it was really happening. I felt on top of the world. Somewhere I felt this day is especially made for me. And I said a prayer to God and thanking him for bringing Dr. Kiran and Asha in my life. During the summer month, through Asha, I received an internship at one of India's leading hotels called The Lodi. I loved being a professional woman for the first time in my life. Asha has sent hundreds of students to companies and diplomatic missions for internship. I was awarded by the best intern of the year by the in the year of 2014 by the governor of Victoria, Honorable Alex Chernoff. And it was the most beautiful news for my life when the Lodi Hotel offered me a permanent job at the end of my graduation. I started as a junior executive, but now, seeing my hard work and my dedication, the company promoted me to become a supervisor. Today, my family enjoys great respect in my community. They are recognized by my name, and I now earn 4 to 5 times as much as my father. And I am an Asha ambassador in my community. And Asha has taught all of us to help younger generation in our community to dream big and achieve their goals. Along with my friend Shiv, who is also an Asha ambassador, I recently helped 24 students to get admission in the university, out of which 19 are Muslim girls. I recently met one of my students, and she told me that she is working for Punjab National Bank, which is one of the biggest banks of India. In India, a few days ago, A-level result was announced, and 35 students appeared, all passed, and out of them, 20 are Muslim girls. And I am very happy to tell you that 3 girls scored more than 90%. Can you imagine belonging this kind of financial background, they can achieve these things? Home, cooking, and in-laws. This was the small world of our Muslim girls in our community. But with education, everything is changing. There are no early marriages. And education has led to employment and giving the independence to our young Muslim girls. Personally, my journey with Asha has made me into a different human being. I owe everything to the Asha values, which are the foundation of our lives. Dr. Kiran has taught us to be compassionate, to be generous, to show gratitude and practice nonviolence. And I firmly believe that I was able to win so many hearts at my work through practicing Asha values. I also helped I bought two motorbikes from my brothers. And I also helped one of my brother for set up his clothing designing factory. And I was able to help him buy expensive machine. And this is the picture of the small business that my brother is running. And I'm happy to tell you that his business is doing very well. And our family is in much better financial condition. I want to end by paying tribute to Dr. Kiran that I wrote for her as a Urdu poem. ये अपनी मिसाल आप हैं, ये अपनी मिसाल आप हैं इनका नहीं सानी, ये अपनी मिसाल आप हैं इनका नहीं सानी, हर दिल के दरख पर है लिखी इनकी कहानी, ये अपनी मिसाल आप हैं इनका नहीं सानी, हर दिल के दरख पर है लिखी इनकी कहानी, बहते हुए दरिया में किरण रोशनी की है, बहते हुए दरिया में किरण रोशनी की है, हम सब के दुख दर्द की खरीदार है साहेब, हालात के मझधार में पतवार है साहेब, दिल खोल के रखती है दयावान बड़ी हैं, और दो हाथों से करती हैं सदा रहम की बारिश, इंसान बनी रहती हैं भगवान है साहेब, इंसान बनी रहती हैं भगवान है साहेब. On the behalf of all the ASHA students, young people and the members of the ASHA slum, I wish to thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving me this wonderful opportunity to stand here before you today. Your support has changed the life of hundreds of young people like me, and we have a long journey ahead. Our aim too is to reach out the young people of every slum in Delhi, and this will only be possible by the grace of God and through your prayers and support. Thank you once again.
We received a flack from someone who said, why have you said that your wife is like God? And I wanted to write back and I said, no, forget it. Somebody else wrote and said, but I would say, are you not called to be like Jesus? If we take the cross every day, you'll be like Jesus. And then they will say, the gods have descended here. That's true. It will happen. Thank you so much for the wonderful encouragement. And thank you for, I forgot, thank you for the curry night that you organized. Thank you very much. And we will continue to pray for each other. And we pray that God will take us to great heights as we work in the slums of Delhi. God bless.
What was that? Was it Francis of Assisi? That's probably the wrong person. Show compassion and sometimes say something. Do you know this? Yeah. Your poem is exactly that. She didn't tell people about Jesus. She was just Jesus to people. And to have done that thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times for you both is just unbelievable. It's very challenging.